Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Weekly Highlight Podcast. Continuing our in-season series, we brought in experts and former coaches and players to share their advice with you. Beginning with us on Monday was frequent of the show, Brian Kite, to talk with us on player-led teams. Here, Kite elaborates on not needing a specific type of leader.
If you got a leader, let them lead. You don't need your best player to be your best leader. It's nice, it works, they got more cred, it'd be cool, but you don't need it. Shoot. Teams I've been on in college, our two best players when I played in college were not our two best leaders. No, we're not even close. But the point was, we did have good leaders. And the people who led stepped up and led. Period. So let people who lead lead. And if that needs to be you or somebody else, be indifferent as to where the leadership comes from. Make sure your team gets the leadership that it needs. And it's always going to be a continuum. And again, this is just a view. I would encourage every coach right now who has been wrestling with becoming a player-led team, I would encourage you to consider this. Right? Wrestle with this instead. Not to waste energy wrestling with becoming a player-led team. Don't use that energy on trying to become a certain kind of led team. Just put all that energy into leading. Just put it all into leading. Leading a team, leading other players to lead, and let the natural consequence of how you lead play itself out this year and the offseason and next year and then the next offseason and then the next year. Don't worry about what kind of leadership team you are. Put the energy into leading and then let the team identity form and let the leadership, the source of leadership come from the place that it comes from. Just don't put concern into who it comes from. Sometimes you'll get it, sometimes you won't. It largely depends sometimes even on the kind of personalities that you have on your team, because you can't make people be someone they're not. I think one of the worst things that coaches say to players is, you know, you need to be more vocal. Well, some kids aren't vocal. Don't make somebody be vocal who's not. There's a lot of ways to lead. Vocal is one of them. Some players need to shut up. It's okay. All right, it's okay. Some players just don't lead through words, and that they don't need to.
Returning for the Edge series was former AAF assistant coach Rob Everett to talk with us on how to effectively use the bye week. A large proponent of technology in the coaching world, Everett spoke on using Google Forms and the Go Army Edge app during your week off from competition.
Yeah, I think the bye week is a great opportunity to, you know, really get into the situation, like you said. But it also, because there's no opponent, there's no, you know, test at the end of the week, your meeting time can be really productive. You can almost get back into that, you know, that college or professional mentality of, you know, training camp, where you have not unlimited meeting time, but, you know, there's a lot that can be accomplished. I think we try to jump out on the field too early to work on skills, where, you know, this is a chance really to hone our mental skills. I mean, we've done this in the past with, you know, using Go Army Edge to simulate those goofy formations, or, you know, create the tempo drill that's testing our players mentally. But we're doing it in a classroom, so it's a controlled environment, so we're able to get a lot more out of it. And not having that target at the end of the week allows you to slow down and really have some good conversations. You know, we've used, you know, Go Army Edge with Google Forms, as we've talked about in the past, to really get some self-assessment about us as coaches, about our scheme, finding out what the players know. You know, so we would present them with some random scheme tests. We would also give them, you know, surveys to fill out over Google Forms to really give us the information to be able to shape out what the rest of the season is going to look like.
For our Trends Day series, Charlie Coyner and Zach Dunn stopped by to discuss plays that happened in college football all over the country, including Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Alabama. Here, Dunn speaks on why going under center has been effective in today's football world.
Yeah, it's funny, Keith. You know, I think it was last year, the Rams, when under center, were like 97% run or play action. Only like 3% was actual dropback. I think that stems a bit from Jared Goff playing in a shotgun system for 4 years at Cal. His under center footwork for dropback, that'd be 3 step or 5 step, is, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's terrible. I mean, he had little experience with it in high school and college. So taking drops from under center, he's not very good at. But being under center, they're in a lot of play action and, you know, move the pocket. And really, that play action was good for him because it created the easy reads. As in, you know, when you're in a play action concept, it's, you know, you got a deep route, a intermediate route, then a underneath route. You know, just create an easy three-level read for him. But also, when you go to play action, like say it's wide zone or duo or anything, the quarterback is going to turn his back to defense. And I think that's huge because when you're in the gun, you know, we have play fakes in the gun, you know, but the ball is always being held right there for the linebackers to see. You know, they're never losing track of the ball. He don't know if it's in, you know, when they're under center, he doesn't know if it's in the running back's belly or if it's in the quarterback's belly. So he has no clue because the quarterback's back to them. So I think that's a big reason too, because I think the play action game is way better under center than from the gun. And also the play action game helps a lot of quarterbacks that, you know, might not be Tom Brady or Drew Brees, or they can step back on the gun and, you know, just, you know what they're getting and, you know, make the right read every time. So I think play action creates a lot easier reads for the quarterback. Play action is great because I think also because, you know, whether you're getting two deep or three deep, what you end up having a lot of time is your two hook defenders, which are backers, are, you know, they're trying to fill a gap, but also trying to run with a deep crawl serve. But also, I like the running back angles, like you said, Keith, from under center. You know, the wide zone angle under center is completely different than the wide zone angle from the gun. And, you know, even when it comes to power and other schemes, I think it's more of a downhill. Like you said, it's more downhill. The back reads it quicker. The back makes it cut quicker.
USA Football's very own Andy Ryland spoke with us once again for the Deliberate Practice Series on Thursday. For this clip, Ryland talked with us about taking advantage of opportunities in special teams.
What happens when they blow a blocking scheme or we just pure beat it with speed? And we have, you know, that guy who by rule was supposed to be accounted for, we'll say by the kick return team's front wall, and either they, you know, they miss the count, maybe the guy falls down, maybe we're just a better athlete, but all of a sudden we have a free runner. Right, he's just absolutely free, and he's there to make the play, or he's in potential to make play. Are we capitalizing on those opportunities? And I think coaches, for me, there's a great conversation to be had about, you know, what are those first guys' responsibility? And, you know, traditionally we've talked about, hey, how we're going to fit the wedge versus, you know, like on a punt team, we may tell the gunners, your job is just to make the ball radically deviate. Well, how are we addressing that with our kickoff coverage team? If you're the first guy down, and I know that, you know, the traditional wedge is no longer there, we have our two man and our kickouts and all those things, but at what point is it fitting the gap, and at what point is it I can make a play? And I've had a lot of conversations with defensive coaches across the country this year on this concept, is, you know, what's the bandwidth for the rules, right? So yes, I have this gap by responsibility. What's the bandwidth for there's no threat to the side, I'm going to work over the top? So now we'll say I'm an interior guy, I'm a 4 or 5, and I'm free. And it's not I'm free for a reason because I'm getting trapped. I'm clearly free. I beat it. How do I fit? Supposed to be accounted for by the front wall, so now I'm extra. So two things I think about. One, we have to make sure that our open field tracking drills are spot on. And again, if your tracking drills aren't 100% competitive, I truly believe they're a 100% waste of time. Now, 100% full speed competitive drills does not have to mean contact. So within our tracking mechanics, right, we have to be going as hard and as fast as we can. I'm not sure if I stated on here earlier, if it was in somewhere else on a clinic talk, but the number one coaching cue I tell our runners or our special teams return men when we're doing these situations is your job is to embarrass the defense. I mean, that's how hard we want them to try to win with speed and movement, not with collision, but to try to make it tough.
To close out the week, our host Keith Grabowski shared his thoughts on creating game day confidence with your players. Here, Grabowski spoke on having a positive environment on game day, as well as reminding your players that they are prepared.
Remember, it's exciting. It's fun to get out there on game day. have that in your locker room. I'm not talking about a lot of screwing around. I'm talking about just that energy that you can feel that comes with game day. It's easier to create at home because you have that locker room, you're used to it, you can control that situation. A little bit more difficult when you get on the road. So look at what you need. Maybe that locker room that they want to put you in isn't the best place for them to sit for a half an hour. So what can you do? Is there a spot you could take them out near the field or outside of that building that would be a little bit better for them to spend their time and again create some of that positive energy? Bring music into it, I think, is an important thing. We would always have a time where they had to shut that music down and they could listen to their own personal music, but we liked having that stereo on and having them again kind of collectively be listening to the same thing and creating that positive environment. And allowing them to filter around, allowing coaches to filter around. I think if everybody's just sitting and not moving, it kind of deadens the space. So again, looking at a little bit of that routine and filtering through as coaches and being positive with them, excited about game day and creating that positive environment. And the last thing is to let them know that they are prepared. There's a number of ways you could do this. I know early on in the season, especially with like a young quarterback, either as the head coach or as an offensive coordinator, as quarterback's coach, I would usually write them a note telling them about how proud I am of them, citing some specific things that they really become good on, and again, allowing them to see some visual evidence of their abilities, right? When they're seeing it and writing and reading those things, that's going to creep into their mindset, and they'll have some confidence that goes along with it. You could certainly do that every day. Write a brief note, even a little thing. What did you like about practice this week? What did they do well? You know, the idea of, again, communicating that they're ready.
Thanks for listening to the Coaching Coordinator Podcast this week. If you're a fan of the show, please make sure to follow us on our Twitter account for coaches at FBDevCoach. Read our show notes, analysis, and coaching articles at blogs.usafootball.com and check out our systems for blocking, tackling, and defeating blocks at footballdevelopment.com. Finally, subscribe to us on SoundCloud, Google Play, and Spotify, as well as give us a 5-star review on iTunes. As always, be sure to check back next week for more one-of-a-kind content.